Welcome to the Headwaters Economics West is Best New Mexico teleconference featuring Senator-elect Martin Heinrich. I would now like to turn the conference call over to your host for today, Alan Oliver, CEO of the New Mexico Green Chamber of Commerce. Mr. Oliver, please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. And on behalf of the New Mexico Green Chamber of Commerce, I'd like to welcome everybody to this telepress conference for an exciting new report from Headwaters Economics. Thank you all for being on the phone with us today. For those who may not be familiar with the New Mexico Green Chamber of Commerce, we're a business association with 1,100 members dedicated to the triple bottom line, which means our businesses seek to invest in people, protect air, land, and water, and create long-term profits. We have chapters in Silver City, Las Cruces, Taos, Albuquerque, Rio Rancho, and Santa Fe. And today's conference is going to focus on the Headwaters Report, The West is Best, how public lands in the West create a competitive economic environment advantage, and was issued today nationwide. On today's call, we're honored to have with us U.S. Senator-elect Martin Heinrich, Dr. Ray Rasker, Executive Director of Headwaters Economics, Lee Gruber, co-founder of Bridges Tile Works, based in Silver City. I apologize if I got that a little bit wrong. And I will be serving as today's moderator. The agenda for today is really meant to be very simple. We're going to ask U.S. Senator-elect Martin Heinrich to start us off with a welcome and his thoughts about the report and its importance to New Mexico. Next, we'll have Dr. Ray Rasker offer a summary of the report, the numbers, and what they mean. Third, we'll ask Lee Gruber, a local business owner in Silver City that employs about 20 people, which also neighbors the Gila National Forest, to provide her thoughts about the report. And after these initial comments, we'll take questions from reporters. And I would just ask reporters to please direct their first questions to Senator-elect Heinrich, as his time is limited, and as soon as he's done with his questions, he'll need to leave us. And then after which, we'll take questions for Dr. Rasker and Ms. Gruber. And so with that, I'd like to turn it over, if I could, to Senator-elect Heinrich.
Thanks, Alan. And let me start out by thanking the New Mexico Green Chamber for hosting this call. Thanks to Headwaters Economics for a really, I think, interesting report, and to Lee Gruber for contributing her real-world, on-the-ground experience to this conversation. Anyone who's been to New Mexico knows that its incredible natural beauty is unsurpassed. It's really one of the best things about living in a state like New Mexico is it's very easy to access some of the best places in the world to hike and ski, camp, hunt, bike, fish, you name it. And the quality of life provided by those opportunities is a tremendous asset to our state when we're working to attract new businesses and new entrepreneurs to locate there. When my wife and I finished college, one of the reasons why we decided to settle in central New Mexico was the tech community that was there, but also because of the access to places like the Sandia Mountain Wilderness right next door. And with the increasing role of technology in every industry, many business owners are looking to locate in cities where they can attract the best and brightest employees. And increasingly, that means locating in cities like Albuquerque or Las Cruces, or in smaller communities like Silver City and Taos. Protected public lands like national monuments and wilderness areas are one of the best ways that a state can make sure it protects its quality of life even as its cities grow and develop. And in recent years, I've been working very closely with a number of elected officials like Mayor Miyagishima in Las Cruces to support a new national monument in southern New Mexico just outside of Las Cruces. We see that national monument as an economic development opportunity, a way to attract businesses and entrepreneurs to the area. And in Albuquerque, we already know the value of having not only the Rio Grande flowing through the middle of the city, but two wilderness areas on our doorstep. The Sandias and Manzanos, created back in the 70s, are our city's backyard, and they give local families a place where they can get outside, relax, spend quality time together. My wife and I have two young sons, and we take every opportunity we can to get them outdoors and experiencing the natural world in New Mexico. Earlier this year, we took a family raft trip down the Rio Grande, just outside of Taos, another incredible landscape in our state. And as this study has shown, more and more Americans are looking to live in places that make trips like that a regular part of their lives. And that gives Western states with protected public lands a real advantage and a real opportunity when it comes to job growth. So I'm glad to see Headwaters Economics confirm what we in New Mexico, I think, have known intuitively for a long time, that these special places are one of the best things we can do to help our state's economy grow. So thanks again for having me today, and I look forward to hearing from the other speakers.
Thank you very much. And so next, I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Rasker of Headwaters Economics.
Hi, everybody. I'm the executive director of Headwaters Economics. I'm an economist. I've been studying the West for about 25 years, and we're a small nonprofit research firm. We're based out of Bozeman, Montana, but we do work all over the West. One of the trends that we've been noticing looking at the numbers is that the West has consistently for the last 40 years been outpacing economic growth compared to the rest of the country. So, for example, in terms of job growth in the last 40 years, the job growth in the West has increased by 152% compared to the rest of the country at about 78%. So there's something happening in the West that is setting us aside from the rest of the country. There's something unique. When you look at the structure of the economy, much of that growth has been in service industries. In the last 40 years, we've added about a little over 19 million net new jobs. Almost all of those have been in service industries. And just in this last decade, we've added about 1.9 million new jobs, and 100% of those have been in relatively high-wage service industries. That includes healthcare, real estate, finance, insurance, professional and technical services, engineering, software development, architecture, that type of activity. So what this tells us is there's something, we're doing something right in the West, and we're attracting high-wage, knowledge-based industry that get classified by the Department of Commerce as services, although it's more than that, obviously. When you're an architect, for example, you're part of goods production, but it gets captured as service industry growth. What's behind this? When we talk to CEOs and when we talk to recruiters, what we're hearing from them is that, first of all, quality matters. If you're trying to attract quality employees, educated workforce, the quality of the environment is absolutely critical, because when people come to interview with your company, what they're looking at is the surrounding landscape, and they're trying to imagine what would it be like to live there. And so that's, in a way, our ace in the hole in the West. It's one of the things that we have in places like Doñana County in New Mexico, where they're considering a new national monument. If you look at the landscape, that's a competitive advantage that the rest of the country doesn't have. And it reflects in the numbers. When we look at rural areas, in other words, areas that don't have large cities in them, so it includes anywhere from mid-sized towns to smaller cities to remote rural areas. If we look at the employment growth, we find that counties that have over 30% of their land base in protected status, so as a wilderness or a national monument or a national park, those that have over 30% of their land in protected status, their job growth in the last 40 years was 344% growth. Compared to counties with no protected lands, grew by only 83%. So there's something unique about these landscapes. When we look at the income benefit, what we found out, a recent statistical analysis we just did for the entire West, we found that on average, for counties with about 10,000 acres of protected public lands, on average, the per capita income goes up about $436. To put it a little differently, if you had a protected area of 100,000 acres, you can expect, on average, $4,360 increase in per capita income. That's about a 10% boost in per capita income just by the presence of those protected lands. So I'd like to pass it on to the next speaker, but the bottom line behind this is we have a unique competitive advantage in the West with our protected public lands.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Rastrin. So let me ask Ms. Lee Gruber from Scissors and Tileworks to comment now.
Thank you very much. You said syzygy correctly. There was a syzygy last night, a lunar eclipse, for those of you who don't know what the word means. But my husband and I created and established this business, Syzygy Tile, about 20 years ago. One of the leading reasons for us to be here in Silver City was the proximity of the Outer Leopold National Wilderness, the Gila National Forest. It played a large role in our decision to center a business here. Silver City is a community that is not next to a major highway. It has some real challenges economically. So our deciding to live here was largely based upon quality of life issues. We employ approximately 20 people, 20 to 25, depending upon which week you're talking about. But all of my employees use the forest for one reason or another, whether it be hunting. In fact, we have to make allowances during hunting season. Certain employees we just know are not going to be available. But the Gila River and the forest play a huge role in people's day-to-day lives here, and very important for the economic base of our community. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you for that. And so if I could get some assistance, we'd like to open it up to questions again. Please direct your questions to Senator Elect Martin Heinrich first, as his time is limited.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question or have a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. This will place your question in the order it was received. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. At this time, we would like to take our first question. Our first question comes from Michael Coleman with the Albuquerque Journal. Michael, please proceed with your question.
Hi. Congressman Mike Coleman. I want to ask about the status of the Oregon Mountain legislation. And, you know, you'd written to the president asking him to declare this wilderness by some kind of executive order. And I never got a chance to ask you about this during the campaign, but your opponent's criticism at the time was that, you know, by asking for an executive action on that, it kind of bypasses the compromise process that legislation would require. And I'm wondering, as you move into the Senate, how do you intend to continue pursuing this legislatively or trying to get some sort of White House action?
Well, Mike, thanks for the question. I think the short answer is both. You know, the request from a number of us in the delegation to see that happen are still active, and conversations are ongoing with the White House. But in addition, I think in the long term, that area is an area that even if the president created a monument tomorrow, there are a couple of places within that have unique wilderness characteristics, and making those designated wilderness is a process that will continue legislatively, because that's not something that the president can do. And so I think they're just different tools to accomplish simple, similar goals.
Okay, thanks.
We will now take our next question. Our next question comes from David Burnside, a personal blogger. David, please proceed with your question.
Hi, yes, this is David Burnside. I'm a UNM student and an independent writer. And I was wondering, Senator Heinrich, what do you think are the long-term economic prospects for a job hunter like me that wants to stay in the state of New Mexico?
Well, you know, there's a reason why when I finished my college career. I chose to settle in New Mexico, and it was a couple of things, and I think they bode well for our long-term economic growth in the state. One of them was the unique combination we have of both private sector and public sector technology drivers like the national labs, businesses like Intel, Sandia Science and Tech Park, those kinds of institutions, and the combination of those in proximity to a state where people want to be. I mean, when people come to New Mexico, they're often literally blown away by the natural beauty, and they come back again and again as for their vacations. They invest in our local communities, and I think the combination of those assets is going to continue to benefit the state. We've had a challenging few years. Obviously, we kind of got into the recession late, and we've been slower to come out of it. But I think those fundamentals, so long as we continue to nurture them and to focus on them, really put us in a very good position long term. And so I really want to thank you, David, for your question. And the question that I think about all the time is, how do we take those fundamentals and leverage them to make sure that the job prospects long term for people who choose to live in this great state are strong?
Thank you.
We will now take our next question. Our next question comes from April Reese with Greenwire. April, please proceed with your question.
Hi, thank you. I found this report interesting. I know it's an argument we've heard for years now. But, you know, there's another argument along the lines of, you know, having so much public lands out in the West also hinders development. Rob Bishop in Utah, Congressman Bishop, is one of the loudest voices arguing that very point. So I was wondering if, Senator Heinrich, you could speak to that.
Sure.
The argument that public lands actually hurt rural economies.
I think the difference is this report is about data, and what Congressman Bishop typically engages in is an argument. And, you know, it's oftentimes it's not an argument that's answered. And I think when we do answer, it's absolutely critical to answer it with data. And I think one of the things that's unique about this report is it focuses in on the difference between just land that, if you look on the map, is Bureau of Land Management land or National Forest land in the abstract, and the places where landscapes have truly been protected with some special designation, and quantifying the difference in people's incomes in counties that are typically of you know, one description or the other, and to see the quantifiable difference that makes in people's incomes and in their lives is what is, I think, unique about this report, and not altogether surprising. Just it takes a lot of work to tease those things out. And I, you know, when I'm looking at ways that I can attract new businesses to New Mexico, I think taking advantage of our unique assets is one of the critical ways to do that. I mean, we're the state that had the very first wilderness area in the country, the Gila Wilderness and the Aldo Leopold. That's worth promoting. And when you look at our rural communities and how important things like guiding are, hunting, fishing, guiding, outdoor outfitter guides, these things are really critical to some of the best jobs in rural communities. And I think Congressman Bishop doesn't always consider that side of the equation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So thanks, April.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Senator Elect Heinrich, and thank you for making the time for this. This is really very important, and really do appreciate that.
Thank you. Take care.
Yes. Thank you.